Welcome to Fairbanks First Assembly Podcast. We hope this message encourages you and blesses you. For more information, please visit our website at fbfirst.org.
We're launching a new series called Divine Direction. Say Divine Direction. Now, I didn't say Divine Destination. That's a whole other series, because how many of you are going to a divine destination someday called heaven? How many of you guys are going to... Well, don't raise your hand, or we won't talk about the other place, okay? I'm excited about this series. I've been in ministry now. I graduated in 94 from Bible college, so for 20-plus years, I've had people ask me the biggest question I was asked by students, okay, when I was a youth pastor was, Mark, I just want to know God's will. I want to know what I'm supposed to do. How many guys have ever asked the question, God, I want to know what I'm supposed to do? And I thought that when I worked with real people, grown-ups, there wouldn't be that, the same question. But I, hands down, the number one question as a pastor I have is how do I know what God wants me to do? What God's will is for my life? What do you think, Pastor, I should do? And I'm talking about do a lot, because we always want to know what we're supposed to do. How many of you know decisions matter? How many are like, yeah. How many of you have regrets? You shouldn't have dated that person years ago. Or some of you are like, oh, right now I'm debating. Okay. Or I shouldn't have bought that car. Anyone have regrets? Shouldn't have bought that. Or you shouldn't have kept the car you currently have, because it's costing you more than a new car would have cost you. Or how many of you ever, I shouldn't have eaten that. Don't raise your hand on that one. See, decisions matter. The decisions we make today determine tomorrow. Whenever I have the honor of officiating a wedding, I always look at that couple and I say this. Today, you're making a choice, but this choice now makes you. Destiny is not a matter of chance, but of choice. It's the choices, the decisions we make, and we've made. I don't know about you. I can say I've made some bad decisions. How many of you guys have ever made bad decisions? Raise your hand real high. We've all made bad decisions. We all have regrets. And how many of you lost your temper before? Raise your hand. How many of you lost your temper on the way to church today? Raise your hand real high. Okay, I see some people grabbing their husband's hands and pushing it down. Don't raise your hand right now, honey. Okay, I call it the miracle of the parking lot. We believe in miracles here. My mom and dad would fight the whole way to church, okay, because we got home from the, we had to do our chores. We milked cows. We got in, had to take showers real quick, and we get in the car, and the clothes weren't ironed in time, and we're fighting in the car, and my dad's just, shut up, be quiet, and he's throwing his, yeah, okay, that's a little too much information there, maybe. But my dad would get to church. He'd step out of his 1971 Chevy Impala that we were driving because we were poor dairy farmers, and he'd step out and someone's, brother's wifeful. I'm thinking, brother's wifeful? How you doing? I'm blessed today, sir. How are you doing, brother? I'm thinking, you're lying, Dad. The miracle of the parking lot. No one has a bad day when they pull into the church parking lot and get out of their car. Oh, bless God. They fought the whole way. Okay? We won't talk about that. It's a whole other sermon on anger. But today I want to talk about, we have decisions and divine direction. What job should I have? Should I take this offer or this offer? Should I buy this new car or keep the old one? Should I have another child? And I have five. That's not in God's cards for me right now, I can tell you right now. Should I get rid of one of the kids I have? No. Bad thought process here, parents. Should I study at this college or this university, or maybe you're here and you're going, God, should we adopt, or God, should we foster? Should we do that? We don't want to upset the family unit we have right now. God, should I retire now or work a little longer? There's all these things. And I've been studying recently decision-making patterns, and they say the younger generation are millennials. How many of you guys don't understand this younger generation? Raise your hand real high. Okay, I raised my hand quick and put it down. They take a lot longer to make decisions, they say. And one of the reasons why is because they don't want to make the wrong decisions. There are some of you in here, you're still not, you don't have the confidence to go make the right decisions. And so today, when we talk about, and the other reason why the younger generation can't make decisions is there's way too many options today. I was on a plane the other day, and how many of you guys, when you're on an airplane, you get a digi player because maybe you're setting up first class or the upgrade year, or maybe you got one because you got it, you know, the free digi player or whatever. Now it's mostly free anywhere. And I like digi players because there's like five or six options for movies. I can make a decision to watch it. But when I go to Netflix, I spend a half hour and give up and go to bed mad because I can't find anything to watch because there's too many options, right? And so some people, there's so many options, the cafeteria of life, that how do we know, and you throw it on top of that, this thing, God, I want to make the right decision, the perfect decision. And friends, let me just say, no decision is a bad decision.
Yeah, that's right.
So the next 4 weeks, today we're going to talk about the power to become. Talking about divine, not destination. Divine direction, God, the power to become. In other words, who does God want us to be? We talk about more. We always want to know what we're supposed to do. But God's not so much about the doing as who is doing what you're doing. Who? Next week, we'll talk about the wisdom to know. God, we want divine wisdom. The week after that, confidence to know. The confidence to make decisions that you sense are the right decisions. And then we'll finish with the faith to start. Sometimes the step out, you don't always. We walk not by sight, but by faith. So today I want to talk about, it's real foundational. But I want to talk about what God cares about the most when it comes to divine direction. God, how do we know what the next step in our life looks like? So God cares more about, number one, the who before the do. So look at your teenage daughters and say, God doesn't care about your do. Dad, that was a perfect time for you to save some money in your house. Okay, the who before the do. God is more concerned, in other words, friends, with who you are becoming than what you are doing. Say it again. God's more concerned with who you are becoming more than what you are doing. See, I love 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. It's my favorite passage, even talking about. I used it a few weeks ago talking about relationships with the youth teenagers on Wednesday night. God's will is for you to be what? Holy. Now, holy, interesting thought here. Friends, holiness is not an action. Holiness is a noun. It's God's will that you should be holy. It doesn't say do holy things. God's concern, it's the Greek word hagios. It means without mixture. God wants you to be holy. He wants you to have a godly life. God is God's will is for a who more than a do. And most of us, when it comes to wondering about God's will, it has to do with what should I do? Should I do this? Should I buy this car? Should I marry this person? And you've heard me say this before. It's more important who you are than the who you marry is. And how will you know who the right person is, young man, if you're not being the right person right now? If you're not being the right who, How will you know if they're right? Who's the one you're meeting? So God's will is for you to be holy. It's for you to be different. Holy means set apart of a different world. Friends, look at me. God's will isn't that you go to church. If church is an end of itself, it's not doing, it's that somehow the church and the life group you're a part of helps you become closer to Jesus. That's the goal of it all. It's the who, not the do. It's divine direction. Marching your life to become more like the master. So at the end of your life, you look more like him than before. I heard this story once of Alexander the Great, and he was obviously the commander of an army. And one day, he walked up to a gentleman who was acting off and said, "Sir, what's your name?" And the gentleman looks back and says, "Sir, my name's Alexander, sir." And Alexander said, "Sir, what's your name?" He said, "My name is Alexander, sir." And he says, "Sir, what is your name?" He says, "It's Alexander, sir." And Alexander looks at him and says, "Change your name or change your conduct." In other words, if you're going to call yourself Alexander, don't act the way you're acting. Be someone different. And how many times do we call ourselves a Christian and we're doing all the right stuff, but we're not being the right people God wants us to be? God is more concerned about us becoming holy than us doing a lot of other stuff. But we as Christians sometimes get hung up about this divine direction. Should I do this or do that? And God goes, I'm more concerned about the who than the do. The who. See, what does God want me to do? That's a good question. But the better question is, who does God want me to become? The question we need to ask ourselves when we get up is, God, who do you want me to become? I am excited. I told my staff the other day, I told my board the other day, I am more excited about this life group session coming up than any life groups I've ever been a part of. And my life group finishes theirs today. I love my life group, and but the topic of the one coming up, we're going to jump from divine direction in a month to divine mentor. And we're going to talk about how do we have an intimate might be the wrong word for some of us. How do we get our hands around the handlebar of the Bible and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit for our lives through the Word of God today? And I don't know about you, I think the most important thing we can ever do is to become more like Jesus. And we become like Jesus when we spend time with his word and with him through prayer. We become like him. Friends, it's not the doing that's important. It's the becoming. And so I know it's 5 weeks out, September 24th, but I'll tell you right now, you need to just plan on doing a life group for 7 weeks this fall, because I promise you, when you have a relationship with God through his word, it will transform your life. Some of you are tired of spinning your wheels. You're trying to get some studs for your faith. Not like a stud, like a man, ladies. I'm talking about you want to get some chains for the traction. You're spinning your wheels, in other words. You need to learn how to have the Word of God speak to you. If you come to church to hear from the Word of God, I pray you come to church already having heard from the Word of God. And so, what or who does God want me to become is more important. Who comes before do. See, here's the thing. I'm a pastor. And some of you are like, oh, really? I didn't know that. No, I'm a pastor, but let me just say something. If my mom was here, I said, Mom, is pastor the right thing for me? She'd probably say, yeah. Others are like, I don't know if he's a pastor or not. But I know this. That's not God's number one primary will for my life, to be a pastor. That's what I do. God's primary will for me is to be a really good son of the Almighty God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God doesn't care how much I preach to you. If I beat my wife and I belittle my wife and treat my kids like they're nothing, that it doesn't matter how big this church grows if I'm a little person at home as a dad and a husband and a son of the Almighty God. It doesn't matter. We focus so much of our energy as Christ followers and as men and women find out what I'm supposed to do. And God goes, no, it's the who you're becoming that's more important than what you are doing. It's who. Who always comes before do. I could be the best preacher in a city, but if I'm abusive to my wife, I'm not in God's will. I could be a charismatic leader, but if I don't pay my bills, I'm not in his will. God wants people of character. God wants people of honor. God wants people that are pursuing him. God would rather have me do anything else with integrity than be a pastor without it. Anything else. God would rather have you do anything you're doing now with integrity than to be who we are today without it. It's not about what we do, it's about who we are. If you're becoming the right who, you'll choose the right do. Say it again. If you're becoming the right who, you will choose the right do. The steps of righteous people are ordered of God. The steps of righteous people. I'll lead you and guide you in the way you should go. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's the who before the do. It's more relational than vocational, in other words. It's more relational than destinational. Is that a new word? It's a new word. Destinational. There we go. So when it comes to God's will, it's much more, he cares more about the do or the who than the do. And number two, God cares more about the why before the what. Say it again. God cares more about the why before the what. How many of you know matters of the heart and motives are important to God? God understands the motives of the heart. I love what Solomon said this in Proverbs chapter 16. You may think everything you do is right, but the Lord judges your motives. The Lord judges your motives. There's two reasons for doing something. Number one, it sounds good, or number two, the real reason. That sounds good. We tell people what, but what's the real reason? What's the motive of Jesus warned his disciples that they might practice righteous acts to be seen by people, and they've received their reward in full. They prayed in public so people would think they're spiritual, but the reality is the motive of the heart was to be seen by man, and they got their reward. Friends, we don't do things to be seen by man. We do things to be seen by the unseen God who knows us more than anything, who knows the motives of the heart. David says it this way, search me, O God, and know my heart. Paul prayed the prayer to the Galatians, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. In other words, he says, I'm not here to please people. I'm here to serve the Almighty God. Friends, look at me. And I think teenagers, look at me. Are you living your life on the campus to please your friends? Or are you living your life because you're the servant, you're serving the Almighty God? I don't do that because the Almighty God is checking my heart, and he knows my heart needs to be in the right place. Should I buy a car? Well, if the why is because you need transportation, then you the motive's right. But if it's because you're trying to make a statement to the world, motive might be wrong. Should I post this photo on Instagram or Facebook? You know, are you doing it because you're honoring God or trying to brag about what's going on? Or are you just letting people, family know what's going on? What's the motive? Why do we do what we do? Whatever you do, wherever you are, serve Christ there. If you're a stay-at-home mom and you're drowning in laundry and poop, do it for the right motives. You're doing it because you want to raise up sons and daughters who serve Jesus. The motive. If you're a minimum wage fry cook, cook the best fries in town. Because to whom little can be trusted, the motive is maybe you work for a jerk and I'm tired. You just do the best job you can for the person you work with, even if you don't like them. Why? Because to whom little can be trusted, more can be given. And God judges the attitudes and actions of the heart. He sees why you do it. You don't do it just for a pay raise. You do it because you're called to serve and to do it because that's what God wants you, the type of person he wants you to be. That other stuff might come or it might not come, but the reality is you do it because God's asked you to do it. I love this thought about Jesus. He's 12 years old. His parents left him for a junior high retreat. They left him for 3 days, the Bible says, on accident. I think it was Planned Parenthood. They left him at the church. And they picked him up 3 days later. They found him, and he said, "Don't you know I have to be about my father's business?" He's at 12 years of age, and then it says he went home and submitted to their authority. And teenagers, I'm convinced if you come under your parents' authority, God will give you authority someday. Doesn't look any farther than Jesus. Jesus went home and submitted his life to his parents, even though he knew there was a calling for his life. And there's 18 years of silence. We don't know much about those 18 years. From 12 to 30, when Jesus began his ministry, we don't know much until one day, John the Baptist says, I'm not worthy to untie your sandals. And Jesus says, baptize me. And when he's water baptized, what happens? The first statement we gain from those 18 years, this is my son, in him I'm what? Well pleased. Then we know he immediately went into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by the devil, and he fasted and prayed, and the devil could not overcome the strength of Jesus, and he left for an opportune time. And Jesus, when he came back to Jerusalem, he walked into the synagogue, into the temple, excuse me. They handed him the scroll. He read from Isaiah 61, and the people said, "Isn't this Joseph's son, the carpenter?" We know two statements about 18 years. One, this is my son. In him I'm what? Well pleased. And we know that he was a carpenter. Now let me put those statements together. This is my son, who happens to be a carpenter. And in my son, the carpenter, I'm well pleased. Look at me, church. What does that mean? It means God could not have been pleased with his son if his son was a man lacking integrity as a carpenter, taking shortcuts as a carpenter, taking advantages of his clients as a carpenter, turning something back to his clients halfway as a carpenter. What it means is the character developed in those 18 years of silence was what gave him the anointing to do things in the public. Why? God is more concerned about the who than what you do, and he's more concerned about the why than the what. This is my son. This is the carpenter, and him I'm well pleased. I'm pleased with who he is. I'm pleased. So friends, you might look and say, what I do right now, Mark, isn't very fun. What I do right now isn't very good. And I would just say, you do it to the best of your ability, not because you're pleasing man, but because you're doing it to please the Almighty God who sees everything. And the why is more important than what. Why you're doing it is more important than what you're doing. We get stuck wondering about the what and the do, and God goes, no, it's the who and the why. I'm looking at the motive. I'm looking deep down inside the heart. See, God is looking for people who will become like their father, him. He's looking for him. In other words, friends, at the end of your life or my life, the end of my life, I'm not going to stand before God and God goes, hey, good job in Fairbanks, Mark. Good team you surround yourself with. Good job. I'm not going to stand before him someday when I finish my doctoral project and he's going to go, good job, doctor, whatever. Good job. That doesn't matter to God. What matters to God, it doesn't even matter if we have 20 campuses by 2030. We're talking about in the villages. What matters to God is the private decisions I make every day and you make every day. That's what matters to him when no one is around. The quiet and the private sacrifices you make and I make. That's what God looks at. God's not looking at how and what. How and what I do for a living. He's looking at how and what I do with my family and how and what I do with my wife and how I treat and the motives of my... God's looking. Man looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. My question is, at the end, I want you to think about this. If you're becoming the right who... God will help you choose the right do. And if you're driven by the right why, God will lead you to the right what. If you're driven by the right why, God will lead you to the right what. Now, for some of you in here, you have to do an inventory, maybe recalibrate some of your life because you've been, it's all about doing more than being. Might have to do a survey. Might have to do a little inventory. Say, God, am I living my life for the applause of man or the applause of my silent partner named God? The who before the do. What's the motives of your heart? Why are you doing what you're doing? It's easy to get off course sometimes, isn't it? To where we're doing it because it's, well, if I just get more money, I can get this and I can do all that. And God goes, is that what life's all about? Or is it to please me? Now, some of us need to recalibrate our hearts today, recalibrate our minds today, realize that, okay, God, I want to become more like you. That's what's really important. There's others in here that go, Mark, become more like Jesus. Who is Jesus? Maybe you're here today and you don't have a relationship with God. I'm here to say there's good news today. The Bible says there's one way to know about heaven. There's one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus. I'm not your way to heaven. This church isn't your way to heaven. Jesus is your way to heaven. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. Say all. Every one of us in here sinned. Maybe you're here today, you've never made a commitment to Jesus. I have some news to say. You've all sinned. We've all sinned. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I love what it says in 2 Peter. It's not his will, God's will, that any would perish, but all would come to repentance. All would come to know him. If you're here today, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want to pray with you in a moment. It's as simple as understanding all of sin and acknowledging that sin and believing he died for your sins. And the Bible says, see, If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. If you're here today and you came because a friend invited you, or you came because you realize you're tired of waking up the way you've been waking up without hope, maybe you're here and you're addicted to drugs and alcohol and you need someone stronger than yourself to get out of the hole you're in, I'm here to say the Most High is what you need, not another high from a gas station or some other place that's out there. You need God to save you and heal you today. So I'm going to have you in a moment bow your heads and close your eyes. And when I do, I'm going to ask you, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to have you raise your hand. In fact, would you just close your eyes and bow your heads all across this place today? No one looking around. You're here today. You don't have a right. You're not in right relationship with Jesus. You don't have a relationship with Jesus. You're far from God. Maybe you're backslidden, or maybe you've never made a commitment to Christ. I want to pray with you today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to count to three. If you want me to pray and include you in my prayer, I want you to raise your hand in a moment. One, two, if you're a leader or a Christ follower, would you begin to pray right now? There's people's lives in a balance today. You're here today. You're not in a right relationship with Jesus. You don't have a relationship with Jesus, but today you want to start. I'm going to ask you to lift your hand in a second. When I say three, just wave at me. I want to pray with you. Three, anyone here say, Mark, that's me. In the balcony, below the balcony, just wave and say, Pastor, if I died today, I do not know for sure I go to heaven. Wave at me today. Or maybe you're backslidden. You say, Pastor, I want to get right with Jesus today. Is there anyone that will wave your hand and wave at me? Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you so much. Anybody else today? Say, Pastor, that's me today. That's me. It's not about doing the right stuff, friends. You stand before God, you can say, I did this and I cast demons in your name. He said, I never knew you. I never knew you. Anyone else say, Pastor, today would you pray with me? I want to know the Almighty God you're talking about. Anybody else? Would you stand with me all across this place this morning? If you raised your hand or you did not, I want to pray with you. Would you pray with me? Dear Jesus, today, I admit I've sinned. And I believe you died for my sins on the cross. And I confess today my need for you. Please forgive me of my sins. Please be my Savior today. Please be my life leader. I don't want to live another day without you, Lord. Today, help me serve you the rest of my life. Thank you for forgiving me. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says there's more rejoicing in heaven when one person prays that prayer than 99 people who already have prayed that prayer. Congratulations. Welcome to the family of God, friends. Ladies, the two that raise your hand, welcome to the family of God. I want to invite you, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, there's a phone number that's going to come up on the screen. Just text your name. It'll send you the next 5 days. We'll text you five simple videos that talk about the brand new you, the decision you prayed. And on September 3rd, so in a couple weeks, we're starting Grow Track. You need to hop into Grow Track. That's your path into how to know how to grow, how to know how to pray, how to know how to get in the Word, how to connect with a life group. It's the path. It's the track to get you back on the path toward growth, back on the path God has for you. So text us your name as the song comes up. Just text prayer, and we'll follow up with some videos. But let's sing the song as we close today. Lord, we're so thankful that you're everything we need. You're all we've ever needed. Lord, I pray this week as we navigate our journey with you in the waters of this world, Lord, that we'd set our compass to be more concerned with the who than the do, and the why more than the what. Help us to become like the God we serve, the one who saved us. It's your will that we should be holy. Help us to be that way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church, God loves you. I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. If you have a friend that you think would benefit from this series, bring them with you next week, would you? Start inviting them to church. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.